I was quite afraid to start posting, start building my personal brand. At the time, I had about 700 connections, all of which were my past employers, my ex-colleagues, my friends from university. And I was so afraid to start posting and get, you know, the judgment from all of them. I sat on the idea for a while. I was following all these people that I mentioned. And eventually I landed a job, you know, by going through a lot of rounds of interviews and rejections. But when I started my job, I thought to myself, you know, this is the time, you know, I have to take my career seriously. I have to start working on my personal brand on the side as well. And I'm so glad that I did, because in just 8 months, I was able to quit my job and start my own business from, you know, from the bottom up. And I've not looked back. So I'm really glad that I took the leap. I believed in the platform. And I think the reason why I very quickly grew on the platform and I've been able to stay so consistent with my efforts is because I had a very strong why. I knew why I wanted to build a presence.
Before we dive into today's episode, please hit that subscribe button. Your support helps us grow and inspire more people on their journeys. Thank you. Hello, Fatima. Thank you for joining us today and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Thomas.
So, Fatima, in case there is someone who doesn't know, can you please introduce yourself?
Absolutely. So my name is Fatima, as you're very rightly pronouncing it. I am a LinkedIn coach. I work with B2B founders, coaches, and consultants to grow their presence on LinkedIn and get attention. I started my coaching business off the back of my own personal brand, which I started building on the platform about 2 years ago, whilst I was working as a social media marketing manager at a 9-to-5. And in my first year of building my presence on the platform, I was able to crack the code, I would say. I very quickly grew on the platform. I got ranked as top 200 female creators worldwide on LinkedIn. And my DMs started receiving a lot of inquiries, people asking me if I could help them out with, you know, their journey on LinkedIn. And that's how I started offering coaching on the side of my full-time job. And eventually I left my job to pursue it. And it's been about a year since then. And I'm still working with so many people. I have worked with about 40 people in my first year of business. And I'm right now in the process of transitioning from one-to-one coaching to group coaching. So that's essentially what I do. And currently, I think LinkedIn is my obsession, which is why I'm so excited to dive into this podcast with you.
We're very excited, of course, to discuss this topic. And do you then remember what was like the moment when you discovered its potential? Maybe that it's more than just online CV, but that there is more behind it?
Definitely, I do remember that. So my very good friend, Indy, if you know her from LinkedIn, she started building her personal brand while the two of us were in university. She's my batchmate. And she was able to land a job off of her presence on LinkedIn. And meanwhile, I was struggling so much to find a job after graduation. And I was a top graduate at my university, despite of my academic achievements and, you know, my polished CV. I had worked at Fortune 500 companies in the past. Despite of all that, I had a really difficult time landing a job. And that's how I turned towards LinkedIn. I wanted to expand my network. I had just moved here from Pakistan. I was new to the country. I did not know anyone in the space of marketing within the UK. So to make sure that I'm never in that position again where I have to rely on my CV as my only saving grace, you know, I started connecting with a lot of people on LinkedIn. Eventually, I found quite a few profiles who were building their personal brands. One of them was Sophie Miller, and she was hosting these webinars on personal branding. I signed up to each one, and there was this one with Leah Turner and her discussing how LinkedIn just transformed their business. They've been able to build multi-six-figure companies off the back of their presence on the platform. And I thought to myself, that's exactly what I want. You know, I want to take control of my career. I don't want to rely on my CV and just hope for the best, apply to a bunch of places. I want to make sure that opportunities find me. But that was at the time just a thought in my head. I was quite afraid to take a leap. I was quite afraid to start posting, start building my personal brand. At the time, I had about 700 connections, all of which were my past employers, my ex-colleagues, my friends from university. And I was so afraid to start posting and get, you know, the judgment from all of them. So I just kept, I sat on the idea for a while. I was following all these people that I mentioned. And eventually I landed a job by going through a lot of rounds of interviews and rejections. But when I started my job, I thought to myself, you know, this is the time, you know, I have to take my career seriously. I have to start working on my personal brand on the side as well. And I'm so glad that I did, because in just 8 months, I was able to quit my job and start my own business from, you know, from the bottom up. And I've not looked back. So I'm really glad that I took the leap. I believed in the platform. And I think the reason why I very quickly grew on the platform and I've been able to stay so consistent with my efforts is because I had a very strong why. I knew why I wanted to build a presence. At the start, it was to build a network in the marketing industry, become a key person of influence, which then just, you know, it gets snowballing into me getting opportunities one after another from my presence on the platform. But I think it all started with just having a vision, having, you know, a strong reason why I wanted to build a presence on the platform.
Mm-hmm. I really liked listening to it because I could feel like that I could relate that also when I was at uni, I was like, why didn't I start earlier building my brand? Because then once I would graduate, you would have such a great head start and it would make everything easier. So I think what you just described, I'm pretty sure it can be like a great message for people who are listening, maybe to start earlier and don't underestimate it.
Definitely. That's one of, I think everybody regrets that when they finally start building the personal brand, that why did I not do it sooner? Because the benefits are exponential and the compound effect is so real when it comes to personal branding. The more consistent you are, I think the earlier you are, the better, because the more opportunities come your way. But I would say better late than never. I'm glad that I finally did it. And whether you're in your 30s, in your 40s, in your 60s, just start is what I would say.
I agree, because I remember recently I saw like a statistics of people on LinkedIn, and it was compared to other platforms where you could see that there is such a low number of people using LinkedIn actively compared to other platforms. And then from those people, if you look at the number of people who post consistently, it was still such a low number. So I think if you look at this, it shows you the perspective how there is still so much room and so much space to go there. So definitely don't wait or don't think that it's late to start. It's never late.
100%. And what I feel is that building your presence on LinkedIn is the easiest as opposed to other social media platforms. And I'm saying that from experience, because I have in the past tried to build a brand on Instagram. I've tried to be on TikTok. I've tried to be on all these other platforms, but they are very difficult because you have to create visual content, which is not everybody's cup of tea, but everyone can write. Anyone can write. You know, you just have to write how you speak. You don't even have to write in a certain format to be on LinkedIn. Well, you do when it comes to formatting, but it has to be your own words. So writing is the easiest form of content creation. And LinkedIn offers that. Why there are other, you know, formats that you can definitely post on LinkedIn, but writing format is still very supreme on LinkedIn, which I think is the easiest way to start creating content and start building content. So it's such a pity that people don't explore that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And also, you can follow and connect with people who share such valuable resources, such as sometimes people overthink how to start or don't know. But if you follow the right people, I see like literally daily guides or advice how to start, how to start doing that. For example, I think just a few days ago, you posted, it was a post about algorithm, if I'm not mistaken. So like resources like this, if I saw it when I was starting out, it will give me like a great head start. So, you know, if you know whom to follow, it just helps you a lot.
Yeah, I learned so much when I became active on LinkedIn. I learned so much from following, you know, the people I mentioned earlier, Sophie Miller, Leah Turner. People are posting highly valuable content. You know, they're giving away all of their secrets for free, how they're running their businesses. And with the video feed now that's come in, LinkedIn is promoting a lot of people to post content about the day in their life. And you get to see what actual entrepreneurs are doing. So there's a ton of value on the platform, which I don't think is there on other platforms with the same capacity, 100%.
Yeah. And one point that stuck with me from what you mentioned before was that you were maybe a bit afraid or scared to post in the beginning, like from the reception of others, which I think is something that I can relate to, because when I was starting out, I felt the same. And I'm sure that so many people are there like that. So what advice would you give to someone who's in such a position?
Yeah, I have actually had three clients come up to me. We've had these discovery calls where they want to start building a personal brand. They have these really incredible businesses already, but they want to scale those businesses or just scale their reputation. And I've had, at least three people, I remember, incredible profiles, back down at the last minute. They're like, I'm not comfortable with sharing my story. I'm not comfortable with sharing my photos on LinkedIn. And I see that happening so often, which is such a shame because there's so much potential, beyond these things. You're so focused on the judgment of others that you don't even explore your own potential. So my advice to anybody who is thinking about, building their personal brand on any platform, whether that's LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, anywhere, don't let that excuse be the reason why you're not doing it. Because if you're not doing it, I'm sure there are more reasons to that. It's not because of the judgment, because when you start posting, you'll realize the judgment doesn't matter. The people who they may judge you in the beginning, but when they will see you win, nobody's going to judge when they see you winning. So focus on winning, focus on learning, and focus on just growing from there, because these people are not going to pay your bills. Your personal brand will definitely be able to pay your bills in the future. So think about that. Think about, be focused on. And again, Thomas, I would go back to my answer at the beginning where I said having a why is so important. When you have a why in your mind, when you know why you're doing something, your strategy is going to be aligned with that. When your strategy is aligned with your why, that's when you're going to see the desired results. So if you don't know why you're creating a personal brand in the first place, you'll probably not get the results that you want. So your strategy needs to be aligned with your goals, and that's when you will see results that you really want, and that is going to motivate you to keep going. So to be consistent and to have motivation, it's so important to know why you're doing something in the first place. So if you are thinking about building a personal brand, just have a real honest moment with yourself as to why you're building it. If you know the answer to that, if I go back to the three people who backed down, they didn't know why they wanted to build a personal brand. They just saw people, a lot of people posting on LinkedIn, and they were like, this is interesting. They did not want to, build a personal brand to grow their businesses or for any XYZ reasons. They just could not figure out why they wanted to build it, which is why they backed out. And I think just have this honest conversation with yourself, and that's how you will know.
I like it. I feel like that if I figure out my why in the beginning as well, it will make things easier too. So I agree with this advice. And if I may add something, I would say that it might also come to spotlight effect, because sometimes we think that, I hit the post and everyone is suddenly looking at me and going to judge me. But then you post it and people don't really care, or they may be rather supportive than judgmental, because why would they judge you though? So be aware of spotlight effect, that it's not as, I don't want to say you are not as important as you think, but it's not really that
Yeah.
everyone would be like looking at you and waiting to judge.
No, in fact, you should say that. You are not as important as you think. You live in your own bubble, but then when you post on social media, there's a ton of people posting. So you definitely get lost in the crowd, and that's when you realize, oh my God, why? Okay, to get attention, to be someone, I have to, learn the platform and do so many other things. But yes, that's actually a very good thought to have in mind, that you are not that important. So just post and just figure out from there.
And then, as we are talking about the posting, can you tell us what was it like for you kind of discovering your, let's say, LinkedIn strategy, such as what you are going to post, when you are going to post, and kind of experimenting and exploring until you get where you are now?
Yeah, so I would say my strategy has remained very similar from the start, except that I think I've changed what my goals become from the platform. So at the beginning, I was not posting to generate clients. I was not posting to find, any sort of business. I was posting to build a network. I wanted to find more people in the space of marketing who I could connect with, build a relationship with in case I need a job in the future. I know people in the industry who I can, have access to guide me with respect to, my CV or just refer me to jobs and things like that. So when I was posting a lot of around marketing and just trying to become a person of influence in the field of marketing. And with that, my strategy was to post a lot of educational content. And by posting a lot of educational content, you know how they say the teacher learns the most in the classroom. I was learning so much by educating others, by posting all this educational content on marketing. So it was one reason for that was very selfish, that I was learning so much from the process of creating content. So at the start, it was a lot of educational content. But then when I started receiving inquiries and I delve into, you know, building my coaching business, I started posting a bit of my story as well as to how I transitioned from, you know, a 9-to-5 marketing person into an entrepreneur, things like that. So with, I think every time my goals from the platform differed, you know, they would change, my posting strategy would change, my content plan would change with that. And now I think whenever, you know, I actually don't do selling continuously. I sell periodically. I sell in seasons. So when I need clients, I would pivot my content strategy to do more social proof, do more case studies, do more sales stuff. But primarily now my intention with my content is to inspire people, is to inspire as many people as I can to start posting on LinkedIn. Because when they do that, they are going to want to have a coach in the future. So it's very, so in a way I have then, you know, preparing them for my sales content. But honestly, my intention is to just, you know, let people know about the potential of LinkedIn, how it has transformed my life. So I do a lot more storytelling now. I do a lot more inspirational content to encourage more people to explore the potential of LinkedIn. I think that's how my strategy has pivoted. And then when I'm looking for clients, I would definitely explore that avenue as well. So in general, if I would recommend anyone what type of content strategy you should have, it should be, like I said, aligned with your goals. But do a bit of educational content, do a little bit of storytelling to nurture your audience. Educational content would be to reach as many people as you can within your industry. And then do a bit of storytelling to nurture the people who are coming into your community. Let them know who exactly they're listening to, who exactly they're, you know, connecting with. And then definitely introduce your offer, talk about that. You also want to make sales on LinkedIn. So do a bit of that as well. That should be about 20 to 10% of your content.
I really like the approach to kind of tailor your strategy to the goals that you've got. I think it's really smart. And when you mentioned about the inspiring or inspirational content, I think it must be very fulfilling, because like when you share the content that inspires people and you read the messages or DMs, like people saying that it inspires or motivates them, what does it feel like? It must be really nice, isn't it?
Definitely. I think that's the best part about LinkedIn, the community. The community is so welcoming. First of all, if you start building a presence on LinkedIn, people are going to be so welcoming towards your efforts. And then they are so supportive in rooting for you. I have changed so much in the past 2 years whilst, you know, building my personal brand and my business. And I have had people stay with me from the start and rooting for me till the very end. And, you know, I've had so many people grow with me on the platform. I've helped so many people grow on the platform. So I think the community is definitely the best part about LinkedIn. And this is one of the reasons why I enjoy being on the platform. You know, so many people say that they get bored of creating content or they get bored of engagement. I actually do not get bored of engagement. Engagement is what fuels me every day to post. I love, you know, commenting. I love chatting with people in the comments. And that is precisely why I think I have been posting on LinkedIn for so long and I continue to do so.
Yeah, it was actually one of my questions. What helped you to stay consistent? So I think you kind of answered now.
Yeah, definitely. I would say definitely my why. The reason is to build my coaching business. I want to, you know, whatever I'm teaching to my clients, I want to test it out for myself. So I keep experimenting with content on my own profile so that I'm teaching people what, you know, something that I've done myself. So that is very important for me to my services to be authentic. I think one of the reasons why I'm so consistent on the platform. And then secondly, I really enjoy it. I enjoy the community aspect of it. I don't have a BA answering people in the comment section. I do that myself. I check out all the comments that I possibly can because I receive quite a few of them. So I check out all the comments myself. And you know, something that I personally do, I'm not sure if not the norm, but something that I personally do is the people who comment under my post in the first hour, I would personally go and check out every person's profile and just browse through their content and perhaps give back. I would always leave a comment on their profile as well, just to make sure that, you know, I'm building a relationship with my audience. So I quite enjoy that. I don't get bored with that.
I hope that after people listen to this, they will do it even more and it will take you much more time to check everyone's profile.
Yeah, it takes quite a while, which is why I end up not replying to so many people under my own comment section, because I'm so busy commenting on other people's posts. But I like that.
But to be honest, I try to do that too. Although understandably, it might get a bit overwhelming or very time consuming, but I like to try to repay the favor. So like when someone shows up, no offense, but if it's not like AI comment or super generic one, then I try to go there as well and, you know, comment and show the effort or support. Because I think another point is that, for example, when there is someone like you who comments on content of a smaller creator, I think it's also nice motivation or support. Because if I imagine when I was starting out, or I mean, I'm not a big creator, but if someone like a bigger creator commented on mine, I would see it just as a nice motivation or support to continue. So I think what you're doing is just a beautiful gesture.
Definitely. And that has actually been very instrumental in my own journey. When I first started out, I remember the first boost of engagement I got was when Matt Barker commented on my post and Sophie Miller would comment on my post. And that would bring like a community of people then engage with my content because there's so many people who are, you know, seeing their comments on their feed. So definitely that makes a huge difference. And I think that is how it should be. You should be generous with your time. If you are on the platform to build a community, then you should be generous with your time to engage in other conversations outside of what you're producing on your own. I think that's how you continuously grow as a person as well, when you engage in those conversations and just open yourself to different perspectives.
I like it. I think it's a great message to the audience, don't underestimate it and try to be supportive to smaller creators as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Are you struggling to stay consistent on LinkedIn? FanPost helps you create high quality posts in minutes so you can write faster, show up more, and stress way less. Built by creators for creators is the easiest way to grow your presence without burning out. Try it free at fanpost.com. And have you actually ever had like a moment when you felt like, I don't know, that you want to give up or that you don't enjoy it as much as before, or you never felt like that?
Oh my God, Thomas, all the time. Okay, while I enjoy it, I do get burned out and I do, sometimes I want to focus on my, you know, on my clients, on my work, because it gets really overwhelming. And especially the reason why I'm transitioning from one-to-one to group coaching is because I'm blessed as well. But I have so many people reach out to me asking for my coaching offer. There's so many people I have been neglecting. There's so many DMs I haven't answered. And that's because I just don't have the time, because I'm also very busy creating my own content. So sometimes that comes in the way of building my business. And that sort of balance is something I'm still struggling with. And I do get frustrated with. At times, I think maybe I should just hire a team to build my personal brand so I can focus on my business. Or what should I do? I'm always, to be honest, this is my current struggle. But at the same time, you know, go back to my why. Why am I still building my personal brand? Why am I doing it myself? Because I want to stay authentic. I want to stay connected with my audience. I want that, you know, that's really important for me in terms of my own business, because my own business is all about LinkedIn and how to grow a presence there. So if I'm not doing my own personal branding, you know, I just have this debate in my mind and that just fuels me to keep going. But I definitely have moments when I want to quit and when I want to, you know, just focus on a business and not so much on building my presence. But like I said, you just take a break, maybe vanish from the platform for a couple of days and then you start to miss it and then you start to miss your routines. So I guess that's what I do.
Actually, so glad that we discussed this, because I remember when it kind of, I don't want to say started blow up, but when I started also getting a bit more engagement and DMs, I felt like that suddenly I wasn't used to it. So it felt a bit overwhelming. And suddenly you get a lot of DMs and you want to be helpful and supportive and you are grateful for that. But at the same time, it's kind of becoming too much, because understandably, it can be like 24/7 just answering, I don't know, comments, engaging and doing LinkedIn. So I'm glad that we can hear it from someone like you, like a bigger creator, and talk about also this side that maybe some people don't realize that, of course, it's amazing. You've got a following and everything. But at the same time, they are like, I don't say negative side, but there is something behind it that maybe people don't discuss as much.
Yeah, it comes with a lot of that as well. I would agree. Because then you don't want to disappoint people. They've been so supportive of your journey. And at the same time, these conversations could convert into business mm-hmm. conversations. They could potentially become clients, but then it's impossible to keep up with everyone. So it's only natural. You have to prioritize with the conversations that you're having. You have to prioritize the schedule, definitely.
And what then is it that helps you kind of to switch off, or what is it that you do in your free time or when you want to have a break?
Yeah, so it took me a while to really build a routine, I would say, especially since I had not been an entrepreneur in the past. I've been a corporate person for so long. A 9 to 5 is when you would work, and then I would switch off after that. But now, when you become an entrepreneur, you're working around the clock, you're constantly obsessing over your work. So it took me a while. I would say I'm still finding a routine. But something that has helped me build a routine or just become more productive with my work is time blocking. So I block my LinkedIn time, my engagement time in the morning, 1 hour, and then I send my son to nursery. So when he's in nursery for those couple of hours, I make sure that I do my deep work. And when he gets back home, I make sure that I spend time with him. So blocking my time and then making sure that I'm doing the work that I'm supposed to do in those hours, committing to myself and being true to that has really helped me build a routine that I would say I'm proud of, as opposed to previously when I would just be working endlessly. I stay awake till 12 at midnight and writing my LinkedIn post for next day. So now it's become better when I've managed to block out my calendar, making sure that I'm following that to the T. And as a new mom, I still struggle a lot with a routine. Like my son, sometimes he would stay up till 10 at night when his bedtime is at 7. So your routine would then just go off. You can't really predict everything, but it actually helps to, making sure that you're true to your calendar.
I think you are then great example to any moms out there, because of course I cannot imagine what it's like, but it must be hard to juggle
It's
being a
so hard,
mom,
Thomas. You have no idea.
building the presents and doing the work. So have you got any, besides time management, tips or advice for other moms? Maybe if they feel like that it's impossible or it's hard, what would you recommend them?
Yeah, so first of all, you don't realize how much time you have in your life until you become a mom or a parent. You have no idea how much time you used to have and you wasted in your past life. Now that I've become a mom, every hour that I get without my child, I make sure that I do something productive. So I'm constantly multitasking and I'm constantly making sure that I'm not letting all that time that I'm away from my child go to waste, because I'm paying to send him to someone else who looks after him. So it's and the fact that he's so young and he's away from his parents at this age, it fuels me all the more to make sure that I'm utilizing my time the best possible way. But I think my advice to moms would be, I jumped into the world of entrepreneurship really quickly after becoming a mom. I would say it's fine to prioritize your child. It's fine to prioritize, your other life. It's fine to, accept the fact that your career milestones may slow down when you become a parent and you might have other priorities. It's okay to accept that. I think that's one of the biggest struggles with people who are so career obsessed becoming parents. They really struggle to find that balance. But you will eventually realize that your balance is going to get affected. So you just have to accept the fact that there are going to be days when you are going to be a bad parent. There are going to be days when you are going to be perhaps bad at your job. And that's just how life is. You have to accept that. You have to accept that your career milestones might slow down. And that's okay. You will pick pace, you will find a routine. It took me a while to find a routine. But when you do it, everything becomes much easier. So it's just a phase. Once that passes through, you can jump back on the speed train and you can just pick pace once again.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's like you've got 24 hours per day, and of course, you cannot do 100% one thing and neglect the other one. So you need to find balance, prioritize, and sort out your priorities, I guess.
Yeah, and I see so many other creators on the platform on LinkedIn who are launching, multiple offers, and I often find myself comparing, am I not doing enough? But then that's just how it is now. I don't have the time that they do. I don't have that many number of hours, and that's fine. I just have to accept that, and I have to do the best in the hours that I have. So it's important to not compare yourself to somebody who's not in the same position as you. So make sure that you never fall in that comparison trap is what I try to remind myself.
I think you also raised a great point, because now, as you say, that you might be comparing yourself to someone else. I think that, like, looking at someone from outside, if I look at your online presence, on LinkedIn, what you talk about and stuff that you launch, that I would expect that you are on top of everything because, you know, you've got a great following, presence and everything. And now you mentioned that sometimes you struggle as well and that you've got other things to focus on. So again, it's like you never know and don't compare yourself to others if you don't know the whole story.
And that's a very good point, Thomas. I saw this podcast by Jay Shetty where he said, if you ever find yourself being envious to someone else, take a close look at the person. When you actually see what they did to get where they are, then you want your envy would turn into inspiration. So whenever you find yourself comparing your work to anybody else's, like being like, oh, wow, they've done so much in such little amount of time, but you don't know how they've managed to get there. So when you start, you know, instead of becoming envious, you become get inspired by them when you study that person. So that's a very good point. As you mentioned, you can never assess someone fully without actually learning about their journey.
Yeah. And now as we are talking of inspiration, when you were starting out on LinkedIn, did you have idea or even a goal that one day you will be inspiration for others? Because like, you know, with your following, people reaching out and everything, I'm pretty sure you have so many people who see you as a motivation. So did you imagine something like that before?
I had not. I'm so happy that I have been able to become an inspiration now, I would say. I mean, I don't know, but it's a very good thought. And that's exactly what I'm chasing. I want to create an impact. I want to inspire as many more people out there. Because there's still so many people who struggle on the platform to find leads. That's the number one struggle with the people I meet. Like, they're not able to find the right people for their business. Or they're doubting themselves to reach out to people. You know, outreach is such a... it's such a bizarre concept. Like, so many people are so afraid of outreach and things like that. So my goal with my presence is to inform as many people as I possibly can on how they can essentially use the tool LinkedIn to grow their businesses. Mm-hmm. There's so much potential, but people are either they're not informed of the potential of the platform, they don't know how to use it, or they have all these doubts in their mind. So I want to break both these blocks at the same time with my personal brand. Like, I want to inform people, but at the same time, I want to inspire them to take the action that they need towards building their businesses or their personal brands. So if I could make an impact in either one of these areas, I think that's amazing. And that's what I'm striving towards.
Mission accomplished. And what would be some, I know you mentioned some names already or when we were discussing in the beginning, but what are some people that you follow now and that are your inspiration or that you learn from?
Yeah, so Sophie has been one of the biggest inspiration for me on LinkedIn. And I very recently recorded a podcast with her. So this was last month. It was such a full circle moment for me because she was the exact person who inspired my journey. And now I'm part of her community. And we were able to sit down and have a conversation on LinkedIn. And I was so surprised that she was asking me all these questions about growing on the platform when it was her that inspired me to start building on a presence on the platform. I mean, she's massive on LinkedIn, but despite of that, she was curious to learn about my journey and how, what tips I have to grow on the platform. So Sophie is definitely one of them. And Indy, my good friend, as I mentioned, two of us are also partnering this year to host in real life events in London. We want to bring more of the online community in person. So that's something that we're working on. I hope to see you in one of those events as well.
Do you know when is it going to happen?
Yeah, so we're still working on the logistics. We have to figure out the location, the place. And then so hopefully in the next quarter, it should be in the next quarter. If you're around, definitely come to our event. I'll invite you personally.
Big expectations.
Definitely. And I'm excited to do this with a friend, somebody who, you know, who's also obsessed with LinkedIn as I am. And the two of us coming together, bringing our community. I hope that we are able to bring as many people to this event. And who else? Yasmin. I love Yasmin Alec. He's amazing. And have you spoken to him yet?
Any I podcast? Checked it with him, but we haven't recorded episode yet.
Yeah. Have him on. He's amazing because last year I did a webinar series. He was in one of the sessions and he's just an amazing person to speak to. He, again, like the two of us, he's obsessed with LinkedIn and he has these incredible insights. So he's amazing to follow. And again, he is doing, his mission is very similar to mine, to inspire as many people with their entrepreneurship journey and with, you know, with their presence on LinkedIn. So he's wonderful. I really like Yasmin.
Yeah, I think he's got such big following, but still I feel like that he's, of course, we doesn't know each other personally, but I still feel like he's so authentic and nice, although of course it's such a big name, so it must be overwhelming and hard to keep up and everything, but I feel like
Yeah.
he's genuine and nice person, so I'm glad to hear it.
He is. He's genuinely a very nice person. Like, he'd speak to you like you're a member of his community, which again, like, he is the actual person behind his profile. He engages with everyone personally. So it feels like you already know him because you speak to him directly so often. Yeah.
And sorry, I interrupted before if there was someone else that you wanted to mention.
Yeah, I think these few have been very instrumental in my journey, and I definitely recommend anyone to check out their profile and learn from them, because Sophie creates a lot of informative content on social media marketing, and Yasmin, he creates a lot of great content around LinkedIn. So definitely check them out.
Yeah, and I think it would be shame not to ask you, because right now you've got almost 65k followers as we are speaking, which, let's be honest, it's a huge number. So
yeah.
Have you got like any tips or advice in case people want to amass large following as well or something like that? What maybe helped you to grow, unless there is something, you know, behind consistency and posting quality content?
Yeah, okay, so definitely posting consistently and quality content. But okay, good question. If I have to answer beyond, you know, the general advice,
because I think sometimes people look for shortcuts, but it's like not really shortcuts. Like, you need to show up and post quality content so it resonates, which is quite obvious, but in case there is something even on top of it that you would add.
Yeah, so you see 65,000, but you don't see that I have been working for the last 2 years to build my following. It hasn't been overnight. When I started posting on the platform, I had about 700 followers, and I think I hit my first 10,000 in a couple of months, and I did that by posting every single day. So posting consistently is definitely very, very crucial in growing a following and growing a presence on any platform, I would say. But at the same time, you have to, before you start building your personal brand, before you start posting, observe what's working on the platform. So many people don't do that. They just jump straight away into posting content about themselves, about their business, about, you know, whatever field of industry they're in. If you start by observing, just make a sense, especially on LinkedIn, where there are only a very few trends. There aren't that many trends happening. There are a few topics that always perform better than others, you know, topics about leadership, for example, and we all have some experience of leadership in some capacity. If you work in the corporate sector, you have definitely experienced leadership and you can talk about that, for example. And other topics that do really well on the platform, for example, remote working, your style of working, things like that. So just observe on the platform before you start posting on the platform. I think that will be so helpful in finding out how you can then contribute. Because your unique selling point is going to be your story. So where does your story fit in under these topics that are performing really good on LinkedIn? For example, as I mentioned, under leadership, what's your story in that subject? What's your story about remote work? Are you working remotely or do you enjoy going into the office? What can you add to those conversations? So have a go around and observe what others are doing. And then when you start posting content, start assessing what the audience likes from you. People are going to engage with your content. So just have, and people are going to start DMing you as well. Inquiries are going to come your way when you stay consistent on the platform. So make a note of then, again, then observe what people are asking from you, what people are expecting from you. I would say 70 to 80% of writing is research, and only 20% is actually putting it on a piece of paper or on a LinkedIn post. So research before you post, and that is going to be so helpful in growing a strong personal brand. And secondly, I would say, utilize your story. Storytelling is incredible in terms of nurturing your audience. When you grow a following, it's also very important that you nurture that audience. You build some sort of a connection with them. They don't just become a number, but they become a loyal, a trusted member of your community. And you can only have that when you're sharing some sort of impact that has happened in your journey. Just share your transformation, share your origin story, or share your progress. When you keep that connection with your audience, I think that's really helpful in growing on the platform in a sustainable way, that your audience also grows with you.
I like it, and I agree. I think sometimes people don't know what to write about, but as you said, everyone has stories. It's just probably know how to write about it. But then you've got, again, a lot of people writing about advice on how to write. So I wouldn't overthink it. And I think that's a great point that, like, if you share stories from your own life, it makes people to relate. And sometimes I think it comes back to what we discussed before, that some people might be afraid to talk about, you know, what happened to me, or not to discuss only highs, but also lows. But then I think it shows that you are authentic and more humane, and it actually makes people to relate to you. So I would also say, give it a try, because you never know if actually that might be what works out the most in the end.
Yeah, in fact, the best stories I personally like to read are transformations. Everybody has a win that they're celebrating, but how did you actually get to that win? You must have started from somewhere. So talk about that. Whenever you're sharing a win on LinkedIn, share it from the very start. Like, tell us, where exactly did you actually start this journey and how did you get there? And it could be just one sentence that 2 years ago, I had zero following on social media. Today, I have X amount of followers, for example. So it could be a plain statement like that, but just give the people background of how you've achieved that win. And that makes such a difference in storytelling.
And I think it makes it also much more relatable, because if I see a big creator posting about success, I can be like, oh, of course, because they are a big name. But then if you said it, people might forget that even big creators had to start somewhere. So if you show like the lows or the beginning or the start or the background, it makes it much more relatable and I would say also achievable for those people who are just in the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. And what we previously discussed about converting envy to inspiration, that's how you do that. If you just talk about your wins, people are going to be envious. They're not going to see the full picture. But if you talk about the transformation behind that win, like how did you get there? What took you to get there? And that's something that people would then take inspiration from instead. So it's the transformation. It's a form of storytelling, which I think is incredible in terms of forming that connection with your audience.
I totally agree. And as we are discussing creating content and writing the stuff, it will be shame not to ask you, what is your take on AI? And, you know, AI in general, or AI when it comes to content creation, and then maybe share your experience, such as what you use.
Yeah, AI is incredible. I think if somebody's not using AI in their content creation journey, they are 5 steps behind, because AI, it keeps evolving. New tools keep coming up in this industry, and it's so helpful to use AI in the content creation process. I can't even imagine going back now that I know that I can use AI in my content creation process. I've become so accustomed to it. And there's so many people who complain that you've become lazy if you're using AI, or you're not using your own brain cells and things like that. But the thing is, you're still the person behind the strategy. You're still the person strategizing. You're still the one who is controlling the outcome. You're just using AI as a tool. So I use AI a lot in my content creation now at this point, and I'm obsessed with tools. You know, the first thing we spoke about when we entered this conversation was the tool that we're recording this podcast on. So I love tools in general. So I'm definitely obsessed with this wave of AI and learning about different tools. And I've had the pleasure to partner with so many brands as well through my personal brand and get to know a lot of AI tools. The ones that I regularly use, obviously, ChatGPT, and now DeepSeek is really, really good as well. I find the same questions getting different responses from the two platforms, ChatGPT and DeepSeek. So I often keep them both open and ask the same queries and see how different they are. And they are quite different in responses.
Can you say some comparisons, or in what way they differ in your experience?
I have a prompt for ChatGPT that I use for writing. So what I do is I use that prompt and I feed the topic that I'm interested in. Now, I started doing that on DeepSeek. Sometimes the results that come out of DeepSeek are far better as opposed to ChatGPT. It's hard to explain, but, you know, it's the same prompt, but the outcome is different, is what I'm seeing from the two platforms right now. So I'm still in the phase of trying out both of them separately. But I feel like I'm trying to make use of every AI tool possibly to get my writing to become better, because I'm obsessed with it. I feel like writing with AI is very tricky. A lot of people don't get it. So with AI tools, I think there are so many that you can explore. And it all comes down to how you're prompting the AI to produce the outcome. So definitely explore AI with writing as well. Make sure that you're prompting it right and just keep exploring it. My one tip with AI writing would be that feed the AI tool with the position. So, for example, just let the AI tool know how they need to be thinking. Think as a copywriter to write this, you know, this post, for example, or think as an HR consultant to write this post. So when you tell the AI to take a position, the results definitely get better. So that's my one tip for prompting, I would say.
I like it. And I agree, because, you know, it's not about it. Yeah, to a certain extent, it's about the tool, but it's primarily about the person behind the tool, such as what you feed it. Because sometimes I'm pretty sure you see it, like even in the comments, like terrible AI comments that are super obvious. But then if it's someone else who actually does some effort, it makes all the difference. So don't be lazy. Prompt properly.
Absolutely. That's the thing. So AI, I don't have a problem with AI comments. I have a problem with people being lazy with AI comments. Like, make an effort and make your AI comment sound like you instead of AI. Just that little extra effort can save your reputation.
Yeah, totally. And how do you keep up with the AI? Are you someone who follows it? Do you read the news? Do you follow the right people? Or what's your strategy?
Yeah, I think LinkedIn is full of amazing people to follow when it comes to AI. I very closely follow Ruben Hassid and Charlie Hills. They're amazing when it comes to dropping every new information, every new detail about AI. Especially Charlie has upped his game. He's doing so well in the space of
shout
AI.
Shout out to Charlie. Yeah, he's amazing.
Shout out to Charlie. He's amazing. And I've seen him now post at bizarre times. So basically, whenever there's a new launch, he would post it immediately. He's not even posting at his fixed time
like
anymore.
Breaking news, right? I've seen it.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're incredible people to follow when it comes to AI. I don't have to read the newspaper. I don't have to read the news or anything. I could just follow these people.
But I honestly feel the same. That it's like a source of the news, because you follow the right people. They serve it to you, you know, like bite-sized, so that it's not too long. It's engaging format. It's right on time. So it's just a perfect source.
Absolutely. It's bite-sized. It's so easy to consume as opposed to reading long articles. Definitely.
Yeah. And just to be aware of time, as we will be finishing soon. I know that we discussed it before already, but what is it actually that you like to do if you've got any free time outside of your work, LinkedIn, and your family stuff? Do you have any hobbies like in your free time that you enjoy doing?
Yeah, I don't have much free time now that I'm a mom. But before that, I've always been a creative person. I used to paint a lot. And there was a time in COVID when I actually built a business around it. I started selling my paintings. Wow. I used to sell my artwork. And through that, I was able to fund my education in the UK.
That's pretty cool. I had no idea. Yeah.
I had this Instagram page called I forgot the name, but I had this Instagram page where I would sell my paintings. And that's essentially how I got into marketing, by building my Instagram page. And I used to do a lot of paid ads to promote my art stuff. And it really took off. I was able to make a lot of money from that. And then just, you know, that fee to fly to the UK. So that's something that I used to do. I don't paint anymore. Now, I think in my free time, I just like to spend it with my son and just obsess over different social media platforms as much as possible. That's what I do.
And with the painting, is it something that maybe you might come back in the future? Or is it like in the past and not anymore?
I think I would come back to it in the future. But in the not in the near future, maybe in the far, far future. It's one of my dreams to have my own exhibition someday in life, you know. I definitely want that to happen. So maybe after I'm retired.
Yeah, it sounds, you know, one never knows. And with the platforms that you mentioned, does it mean that you are building your brand on other platforms as well? Or is it like a plan?
I am planning on building my presence outside of LinkedIn. Now that I've mastered LinkedIn, I would like to explore other platforms. Also, because I'm a social media marketing person at heart, I want to keep, you know, learning other platforms. And right now I'm focused on LinkedIn and building my newsletter, LinkedIn Tea. But apart from that, I want to share more of my story. So perhaps maybe on Instagram or TikTok, either of these two, let's see what happens. Hopefully sometime this year.
Yeah, and you just said it. I wanted to ask you, why is it called LinkedIn Tea?
LinkedIn Tea? Well, when I first started posting on the platform, I wanted like a buzzword that people could associate me with. I think that's one way to stand out, when people start associating you with something. And in my career, I would title them as LinkedIn tea. This is what's trending on LinkedIn. So initially, I used to share all the updates that LinkedIn would drop. And I would call it, you know, me spilling LinkedIn tea. And that just then became my headline. And I have not, you know, removed it since.
Yep. I mean, it makes sense. I thought that it's maybe associated like with British culture that, you know, Brits and tea, but I don't know.
I'm not even a tea drinker, honestly. I prefer coffee more than tea.
Paradox, yeah. And the question that I like to ask kind of everyone, are there any books that were impactful to you and you would recommend?
Oh, I love that question. I love recommending my favorite books. So my most favorite book, I would say, and this is something that I would recommend anyone, whatever facet of life you're in, whatever your ambition is, definitely read How to Win and Grow. Yeah, I would have prepared the name. I would have had I known this question would be asked, but it's by Dale Carnegie, incredible business author.
How to Win Friends and Influence
How
People.
How to Win Friends and Build an Influence, yeah, something along that line. It's an incredible book. And in the very first chapter of that book, he says that to understand the principles of that book, keep coming back to it, keep reading that book again and again, because the principles mentioned in that book are so applicable to everyone's life. And I've forgotten quite a bit of it. And that's something that I want to do again. So it's one of those books that you want to, you know, keep coming back to, keep reading and keep learning those principles again and again. He talks about how essentially people respond to, you know, communication. How do you basically break that wall with people to get comfortable with them? And he talks about these psychological principles that are so common when it comes to breaking that wall with people. And I think it's an incredible read when it comes to understanding your own psychology, like how do you respond to different people and how, what sort of topics do you take an interest in?
But you know what, Fatima, when you said that it's the book that you would recommend to everyone, I was wondering which one is it going to be. And when you mentioned this one, it will be probably my answer as well. It was like one of the biggest ones. I was so happy to hear this one.
It's really amazing. So have you read it as well?
I did, yeah. I still remember when I read it for the first time. And I agree that it's like a book that it's worth rereading regularly. Because I don't know when it's been written, but it's been in a long time. But it's still so valuable, you know, even these days. And I'm pretty sure it will be in the future. So it was a great one.
Definitely. And it makes you understand the psychology of a normal person. Like, how do we break that wall with people, essentially? You know, little tips of calling somebody's name when you're speaking to them. It makes such an impact and things like that. I think these principles you're not aware of unless you read about them, unless, you know, you gain that knowledge. So definitely would help anyone out.
Yeah, I was going to say that some things might sound obvious, but we don't really realize. So like, as you said, with the name, it's one of the biggest takeaways. And I still remember that today. It's true.
Yeah.
And then we obviously discussed it already, but can you summarize where people can find you, follow you and promote any of your services?
Yeah. Follow me on LinkedIn. That's the one platform that I'm prioritizing as of now. Hopefully any other platform you would find out through LinkedIn. And my newsletter is called LinkedIn Tea. I'm planning on relaunching it this year, making it massive, making it a weekly issue. So in that you can expect LinkedIn insights. I plan on sharing my own insights. So I do a lot of tests on LinkedIn. As I mentioned earlier in our conversation, I like to make sure that I'm testing out the platform for my clients. I can tell them what's working and what's not working and things like that. So I plan on sharing those insights in my weekly newsletter as well. So that's something that you can follow if you're interested in the topic. And just on LinkedIn.
Awesome. And then the very last question, is there something that I should have asked you and did not, or any final piece of wisdom or anything that you would like to share before we finish?
Before I finish, all right. I think my final advice would be to anyone listening, if you're feeling stuck or if you want to start building a personal brand or if you want to build a business or anything like that, something that I would recommend is to just take action. It's so important to start that thing instead of assessing and overthinking about it in your mind. Action is the best way to get direction. If I would not have taken action 2 years ago in building my personal brand, I would have never known that this is a potential that I have. I can coach other people in the industry now at this point. If I had never taken that action, if I never started building my personal brand, I would have never discovered it. So it could be anything. It could be anything that you're interested in. Just take action, and that is going to help you get the direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's perfect. I think great piece of advice to finish with. So I want to say a big thank you, Fatima. I really enjoyed it. I think it was such a nice, positive and friendly vibe. I feel like that it flew so quickly, so we'll be happy to catch up anytime in the future again, or maybe in person in London in the meeting that you are planning. So yep. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it, and I will keep following and supporting, and thank you.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me. It was so lovely to speak to you, Thomas, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in person.
Thanks for listening to Produced By with Tomen. Check the show notes for all the links, and don't forget to subscribe, like, and share your feedback. Speak soon.